The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I filmed another music video this weekend for my single, The Queen of the Heartless. And it was really fucking fun because for one scene, I ended up renting a bouncy house. You know, one of those bouncy castles that kids will jump around in. Well, since, you know, the song's called The Queen of the Heartless, I needed a castle. And so that's actually what I ended up using is a bouncy house castle. And let me tell you, motherfuckers, that shit is fun as fuck. My 37-year-old ass was bouncing around that motherfucker and having one hell of a time. I will say I am an old ass motherfucker because after like 10 minutes of it, I was like winded as fuck. But still, it was fun. I was able to get through it and should be interesting to see what the end result of that ends up being, which we should have in a couple of weeks. But until then, let's get into the football because we did have an excellent weekend of football this weekend. So week 13 started off with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Atlanta Falcons, which went about as expected. It was a very close game between two shitty teams. Steelers actually dominated this game for the majority of the time. They did get the win 19-16. Kenny Pickett, he actually has not thrown an interception since Halloween, so that's pretty good for a rookie. So he's actually been very efficient, and while the Steelers' offense hasn't really been scoring anybody out of the building, hey, they're still getting in scoring position, and Kenny Pickett's getting the job done. So it'll be interesting to see if he progresses into a better quarterback as the years go on, but so far he's been very efficient. And he went 16 for 28 yesterday, 197 yards and a touchdown. Najee Harris did end up playing. He had 86 yards on the ground. And, I mean, just two shitty teams, so it's not like either team's going anywhere. But, hey, the Steelers are they're getting some wins. They're a quiet team right now that's getting some wins that you kind of want to watch out for the Steelers. I don't expect them to be some type of playoff team, but I kind of feel like they're going to be giving you your all, giving you their all every single game. And it's been showing the last few games, but the Falcons, they're not that great of a team, but still, Steelers got a good win there for them. Then the Green Bay Packers were at the Chicago Bears. The Packers did what the Packers do against Chicago, and that's win. They got the win 28-19. Actually, for a while there, it looked like the Bears were actually going to get the win. You know, it was kind of back and forth in the first half. And then the Bears kind of took the lead there, and it's like, oh my God, are they actually going to get a win? And then the fourth quarter hit, and the Packers went off and scored 18 points in the fourth quarter, and they would go on to win 28-19. And it's just funny because, you know, all season we've been wondering when Aaron Rodgers was going to find a certain connection with one of his new young receivers, and it seems like Christian Watson is that dude because he caught yet another touchdown this week, a 46-yard touchdown to be exact. So it kind of feels like that this is going to be the new guy in Green Bay, at least for now. Justin Fields actually didn't have a bad game either. He ended up playing. He went 20 for 25, 254 yards, and then he also had a huge touchdown run. I think it was like a 54-yard touchdown run, so he had a good day. A.J. Dillon, running back for the Packers, he actually had a really good day too, 18 carries, 93 yards and a touchdown, and just actually an overall good game from the Packers against the Bears, and actually now the Packers are the all-time winningest team in all of football. It's just been going back and forth basically between them and the Bears all season long, and that's probably how it's going to go for the next few years, especially this season because they're both equally trash. Neither team's good. So, but hey, Packers are the winningest franchise in the history of the NFL. So good for them. Then the Jacksonville Jaguars were at the Detroit Lions. And this was an absolute demolition from the Lions. They just killed the Jaguars 40-14. It wasn't close at all from any point. I mean, in the first quarter, they jumped out and had 14 points, then 9 points in the second quarter, 7 in the third, and 10 in the fourth. So they just were scoring like no other. And the Jaguars just could not get it going. For a second there, it looked like Trevor Lawrence suffered a pretty bad injury. Somebody landed on his foot, and it got twisted in a really bad direction. It looked like he was going to be done for the season, but he ended up coming right back out and playing, but didn't make much of a difference. Jared Goff went off for 31. He went 31 for 41, 340 yards and 2 touchdowns. DeAndre Swift had a good game, 14 carries, 62 yards and a touchdown. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown also had a good game, 11 receptions, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Basically, everybody scored for the Detroit Lions yesterday, and nobody scored for the Jaguars yesterday. Then the New York Jets at the Minnesota Vikings actually ended up being a pretty good game. It looked like the Vikings were going to run away with this one in the first half, and going into the halftime, they were up like 20-6. And then the Jets started to get it going in the second half, and especially in the fourth quarter. But Mike White just ended up throwing a really bad interception in the red zone, and the Vikings would go on to win 27-22. So they didn't blow them out of the water. As a matter of fact, I think it's kind of shocking that the Jets were able to stay in it so close, but they did. Mike White ended up throwing 57 passes yesterday, so that's really not numbers you want to see from any quarterback in the league, but especially a dude who's only starting his second game this season. He went 31 for 57, 369 yards and 2 interceptions, so the turnovers were a big deal for the Jets yesterday, and they were basically the turning point. I mean, especially that last drive for the Jets, they were driving, and it looked like they might actually score. And he just threw a really bad interception for the Vikings to just walk off with the win. Who knows what you're going to get from the Jets. But the Vikings, they are 10-2, so they keep winning. Then the shittiest game of the day, because we had yet another stupid fucking game end in a tie. My least favorite fucking thing that happens in football is when a game ends in a tie. This is football, not soccer, people. We should never have ties in football, but here we are with our second tie of the season. The Washington Commanders were at the New York Giants. Figures these two trash can teams can't even get a win. Neither one of them wanted this win yesterday. It was so crazy because it went back and forth for a while there. And then the Commanders were able to put together this nice solid drive towards the end of the fourth quarter, tie it up at 20. So we go into overtime, and I kid you not, neither one of these teams was even interested in even getting close to field goal range. And I was just sitting there like, this, you got to be kidding me. This is going to end in a tie. And I was even rooting for the Giants, which says a lot because I don't ever root for the Giants, but I was rooting for somebody to just win this motherfucking game. And they kind of got in field goal range. It was like a 58-yard field goal, and it looked like it was well on its way to hit between the goalposts, and it just fell short by a couple yards. So we had another tie, which is just the worst way a game can end. Even Taylor Heinicke, he was interviewed after the game, and even his response was, I don't even know how to feel about this because it's not a win, it's not a loss, you just don't know, and they're going into a bye. So they get to go into a bye week off of a tie. That's just awful. Taylor Heinicke did have a really good game, actually. Probably his best game of the season. He went 27 for 41, 275 yards and 2 touchdowns. Brian Robinson Jr., he just gets better with each and every game. He had 21 carries, 96 yards. And then Terry McLaurin, he had a big game for Washington, 8 receptions, 105 yards and 1 touchdown. I don't really believe in either one of these teams, but them ending in a tie is, I guess, what you would expect from the two of them, but it just really pisses me off. I'm so sick to fucking death of seeing ties. They should not exist in football, but here we are with stupid-ass tie, a second one this season. Ridiculous. Moving on to the Tennessee Titans at the Philadelphia Eagles. And this was just straight domination by the Eagles. They won 35-10. A.J. Brown, this was basically his revenge game because, you know, he used to play with the Titans. They kind of had a contract dispute in the offseason. And so the Titans just ended up trading him to the Eagles, which I don't know what they were thinking. He had 8 receptions, 119 yards, and 2 touchdowns yesterday, and he just went off. But so did Jalen Hurts, man. This guy, he is just getting better with every game, too. He's not only just killing it on the ground, but he showed that yesterday he could do it through the air, too. He went 29 for 39, 380 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So Jalen Hurts is actually starting to make a big case for MVP this year. It's going to be difficult, really, in my opinion, to surpass Mahomes, but I mean, Jalen Hurts keeps playing like that. I don't know, man. That's a good case right there for MVP, in my opinion. But Eagles just keep rolling. They're 11-1 and got another big win against the Titans. Then the snooze fest of the day, the Denver Broncos at the Baltimore Ravens. And shit, man, did either one of these teams want to win yesterday? I felt like they wanted to end in a tie, too. I mean, even though Lamar Jackson unfortunately went out with an injury for the Ravens, even before he went out, what is going on with this Baltimore Ravens offense? I mean, it's just stagnant as hell. There is nothing going on. They can't get a first down. They can't get going on the ground. They can't get going on the air. Dudes are dropping passes. And then the defense is just barely able to hang on into games. The Ravens did shockingly get the win 10-9. It was weird because the Broncos basically led this entire game for the majority of the way. With 9 points. But 3 field goals, by the way. That's all the Broncos got. I mean, this team is just really pathetic. It's really shocking at how pathetic this offense is for the Broncos, but it just gets worse every week. But the Ravens, you got to start to throw them in the pathetic offense category because they didn't look good either, and there really are no stats to discuss in that game other than that was an awful, atrocious game from both teams. Then we had the other snooze fest of the day, the Cleveland Browns at the Houston Texans. This, of course, was Deshaun Kutson's first game back from his suspension, and he performed exactly as expected. Dude who hasn't played football in 1.5 years, he looked like straight trash, homie. Just like he played, that's what he is, trash. So that's just perfect for him. But it was kind of hilarious, actually. He was throwing, it just looked bad. It looked like it was his first game back in 1.5 years. Even though that was the case, lucky for him, he was playing against the Texans, who are even worse than him. And the Browns actually do have a pretty decent team surrounding him, and they were able to just take advantage. They ended up having, I believe, either a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown. And then they also had an interception for a touchdown and a fumble return for a touchdown. So basically their defense and special teams is what got them the win 27-14. But it was just, that was really bad football from Deshaun Kutson. So good luck with that. That is your $200 million man right there. So have fun with that, Cleveland. Have fun with that. Then the afternoon games, we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Los Angeles Rams, which actually shockingly ended up being a good game. Seahawks did get the win 27-23, but I mean, the Rams really, they actually scored some points and they actually had the lead for a lot of this game. But Geno freaking Smith, man, he is just having a season to remember. He went 28 for 39, 367 yards and 3 touchdowns. It was just also funny, too, because DK Metcalf was just jawing at Jalen Ramsey all day yesterday. So that was pretty funny to see, and he ended up catching the game-winning touchdown as well. Tyler Lockett also had a great game for Seattle. He had 9 receptions, 128 yards, and a touchdown. But then on the opposite side of things for the Rams, they finally had a ground attack. Cam Akers finally showed up, 17 carries, 60 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So it was a very shocking game from the Rams, but not a shocking result. Seahawks actually keep on rolling, and with what happened in the Niners game, got to watch out for Seattle now to possibly take over this division. And speaking of the Niners game, we have the Miami Dolphins at the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers did end up getting a big win, 33-17. Tua looked like Tua. I expected the 49ers defense to really rattle his cage and kind of expose him for what he really is, and they did. Tua went 18 for 33, 295 yards and two touchdowns. Tyreek Hill had a great game, though. 9 receptions, 146 yards and a touchdown. But other than that, it was a very quiet day from the Dolphins. 49ers defense just went in. They had a couple interceptions. They had some touchdowns. They had some fumble recoveries. And they just really made it uncomfortable for Tua all day long. But the uncomfortable moment for the Niners, unfortunately, is that their starting quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, is once again injured. He broke his foot and is out for the rest of the season. And you could tell when I saw the replay, because they broke in during the game that I was watching, and they showed a replay of the foot, and you could just see that as soon as it broke, that it just went the opposite direction. So I was like, oh, shit, Jimmy G's hurt again. And so in my opinion, that really just throws a complete wrench into the Niners season. They're still a very good team, but now they're on their third string quarterback, who is literally Mr. Irrelevant, which is known as the very last pick of the draft. So not only is he a rookie, but he was the absolute last player picked in this year's draft. So he wasn't really expected to even make a team, let alone start a game. As a matter of fact, this weekend was the first time Mr. Irrelevant in the entire history of the NFL draft. This is the first time ever that Mr. Irrelevant, a quarterback, has thrown even a pass as a starting quarterback in the league. So that's pretty crazy. And he did come in and play pretty well, but come on, he's a third string quarterback. He's going to cost them some games down the stretch here. And that's why I'm thinking if Seattle keeps it up, the Niners might end up losing this grip on the NFC West. And I definitely don't think they're a Super Bowl contender now at this point, because you need a quarterback, and ain't no way a third stringer is going to carry you to the promised land. But it just sucks for the Niners, just because they were looking like one of the best teams in the league, and now, boom, they are pretty much donezo. Now the game of the day, which definitely it was billed as the game of the week all week long, and of course it stood up to it as it has the last three occasions. And that was the Kansas City Chiefs at the Cincinnati Bengals, which was just exactly as expected. Back and forth between Mahomes and Burrow. But once again, Joe Burrow gets the better of Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And they go on to win 27-24. Very close game in the end here. But the Bengals were able to hold off the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. And it was very interesting to see the Bengals defense. They really held down Patrick Mahomes for the most part. They were able to get Travis Kelce fumble the ball in a very pivotal point in the game, which I believe was basically the turning point of the game, and which is where I believe the Bengals won the game, is Travis Kelce was running for a first down, ended up fumbling the ball. Bengals end up getting the ball, and they end up scoring. And so I feel like that was the turning point of the game right there. And really, the Bengals just, they held on to the ball once they got it with about 4 minutes left, drove down the field, and then just were able to get some first downs, and then were able to kneel down and get the win. And Joe Burrow, he just had another phenomenal game, 25 for 31, 286 yards, two touchdowns. But then Samaje Perine, he just continues to get better too. He had 21 carries, 106 yards, and then Ja'Marr Chase came back from injury, 7 receptions and 97 yards. Just an overall spectacular game from the Bengals on the offensive side of things. But also their defense really held it down, and they were able to control things and not let Patrick Mahomes really take over this game and cause a lot of damage, especially in that fourth quarter. So huge win for the Bengals. And once again, they are surging at the right time, just like they were last year. So you really got to look out for the red hot Bengals right now. And then the last afternoon game ended up being another good game as well. Los Angeles Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. Once again, Chargers are disappointing. Raiders get the win 27-20, but what is up with the Chargers? This is a game they should win, and they're 6-6 now. They are too talented of a team to be this terrible, but I guess that's just what you get from the Chargers. Justin Herbert, not a bad game, 28 for 47, 335 yards, one touchdown. He actually had this amazing fourth down conversion. Not just a conversion, it was a touchdown to Keenan Allen. That was, I believe, like a 4th-and-13 or something crazy like that. But regardless, it just sucks because he's such a solid quarterback, but this team just can't win. And the Raiders really just dominated this game for the most part. And then Josh Jacobs, he had another phenomenal game, 26 carries and 144 yards and a touchdown. Devontae Adams had yet another phenomenal game, 8 receptions, 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Raiders put together a really good game. Chargers just doing what the Chargers do, up and down every freaking game, and you just don't know what you're going to get for them. And then, of course, rounding out Week 13, Sunday games was with Sunday Night Football. Just an amazing game from my Cowboys. Indianapolis Colts at the Dallas Cowboys, and just straight domination in the fourth quarter from the Cowboys. In the fourth quarter, they scored 33 points. They had 5 takeaways yesterday against the Colts, which this was expected for me. I did predict this, that they were going to kick the crap out of the Colts and they were just going to pound Matt Ryan, and he would be lucky if he would escape without injury, which he did. Actually, it was kind of funny because the Colts did make it a game for the first 3 quarters, but then the fourth quarter hit and the Cowboys just went off, and 33 points in the fourth quarter is, I believe, the second most points ever scored in the fourth quarter in NFL history. So they went off and they got the win 54-19. And they just really had a solid overall game once again from the offense, the defense. Tony Pollard, 12 carries, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns. And just a really good game, especially that fourth quarter. It was just nuts. But what I really am liking what I'm seeing is, you know, Dak continues to get better with every game. The interceptions sucks that he keeps throwing them, but hey, you know what? Josh Allen leads the league in fucking turnovers, and nobody's really complaining about that. He still gets his praise. So, you know, he, in my opinion, Dak's getting better with every game. But man, so is Michael Gallup too. Michael Gallup, he came back from his ACL injury, and he's getting better with every game. But C.D. Lamb is that dude. Holy shit, I'm just loving what I'm seeing from CD in every game. He is so dynamic. It is just crazy what we have with this dude. And I don't even think he's like reached his peak. You know what I mean? He still has room to grow and he's still fucking good as hell. I mean, he's shifty. He's fast. He can make some crazy plays. I mean, that one touchdown he had last night where he didn't even hit the ground and he just rolled over the defender for the touchdown. Like, this dude is so reliable. There are some times in the game where I'm just like, to Dak, just throw it to CD. That's all you got to do. Dude's going to make the play more than likely. And he just gets better with every game too. I mean, I know at the beginning of the season, everybody was questioning whether he was going to be able to take over for Amari Cooper and be the number one dude. He has more than answered that question. CD Lamb is that dude. And I fucking love what I am seeing from CD Lamb. So I'm loving what I'm seeing from the Cowboys. As a matter of fact, yes, the Colts are a shitty team, but we should kick their ass, and we did kick their ass 54-19. When you put up 54 points on somebody, I don't care what anybody says, that's a fucking awesome game. And yeah, just like to see it, and it was exciting for me to watch as a Cowboys fan. All right, moving on to tonight's Monday night game. We have the New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 5.5-point favorite. And I mean, the Saints, while they do own the Buccaneers, over the Tom Brady years, the Bucs did beat them earlier in the season, and really the Saints have just fallen off the face of this earth. They've just been circling the drain all season long. They really haven't found their footing. They have found no identity. Even the defense has been shaky at times, so there really isn't anything positive to say about the Saints. Not much to say positive to say about the Bucs either. I mean, their ground attack can't get going. They have so many injuries. Their offensive line is decimated. And defensively, they're getting blown up too. So there aren't too many great things to say about them. But hey, they still have Tom Brady, and they still have a pretty decent team. And I think they're better than the Saints. So I do think Tampa Bay is actually going to not kick their ass, but pretty much have the lead the whole way, and then pull away in the second half. And I think the Bucs are going to get the win, 23-14. And then also in some other random NFL news, Baker Mayfield was released by the Carolina Panthers today. So, you know, it's all signs are pointing he's probably going to at least sign with the 49ers, or at least they're going to entertain the idea. Obviously, none of us have any type of insider knowledge on that, unless you're like Adam Schefter or something like that. But most of us would assume that the Niners would at least look into him, just because now they're down to their third string quarterback. Not saying that Mayfield would walk in and be the starter, but they need depth at quarterback. And so who knows, that could be a potential signing for him. I don't think it matters anyways. As I stated a couple weeks ago, I kind of feel like Baker Mayfield is now, his career is pretty much done. He will probably just become the next journeyman who just can compete for a starting job, but more than likely is just going to end up in a backup position. Very interesting to see the Panthers release him midseason. That just goes to show they were done with him and that experiment was done. And, hey, they have nothing to lose in that release, so you might as well just let him go. All right, let's get to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Still number one, Boston Celtics. Overall record of 19-5, 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're just scoring like no other. This week, they got wins against the Charlotte Hornets, Miami Heat, and the Brooklyn Nets, and then they lost to the Miami Heat as well. But they are just scoring everybody out of the building. Jason Tatum is just going off. Right now, they still lead the league in points per game, and that points per game that they're averaging right now is 121 points per game. Yeah, last week it was 120. Now they've bumped it up to 121. Also, they lead the league in three-point percentage as well with 40%. Three-point percentage, yeah. So they're just scoring everybody out the building and just killing it right now, and Jason Tatum is just having a phenomenal season. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, they have the Phoenix Suns. Overall record of 16-7. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This week, they got wins against the Sacramento Kings, Chicago Bulls, and the San Antonio Spurs, and lost to the Houston Rockets, which was just a really weird game, but hey, it's going to happen. But it doesn't matter. Devin Booker, he's just having a phenomenal season. But so is DeAndre Ayton. This guy is just getting better with every single year. He's been getting double-doubles the last couple of games, and he's just owning the paint right now. So Chris Paul, the old-ass motherfucker, but still doing his thing. And so the Suns looking really good this year. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team I didn't really expect to see this high, but they are rolling right now, and that's the New Orleans Pelicans. Overall record of 15-8, but they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. They are on a four-game winning streak right now, which is the longest winning streak right now in the NBA. This week they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Toronto Raptors, San Antonio Spurs, and the Denver Nuggets. And it's really just all about Zion. You know, he's healthy. He's playing well. He's owning the paint. He looks healthy. He looks in shape, and he's just scoring, and he's pretty much doing it all. But the rest of the team surrounding him, they're obviously picking up around him. But it's all about Zion so far. So Pelicans at number three this week. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 16-6. 6-4 in their last 10 games, and they haven't really had a good week, which is why they fell a couple of spots this week, but they're still one of the most dominating teams in the league. This week, they got wins against the Knicks and the Charlotte Hornets, and then lost, shockingly, to my Los Angeles Lakers. I could not believe that, especially because the Lakers actually, were dominating that game most of the way. And then also that was Chris Middleton's first game back. So that was pretty shocking, but I'll take it. But hey, the Bucks are still a good team. You're going to have down times during the season, and it's very early in the season. So Bucks, while they didn't have a great week, still one of the best teams in the league. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 15-9, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Toronto Raptors and the New York Knicks and got a win against the Philadelphia 76ers and the Orlando Magic. But man, this is turning into a really good team led by Donovan Mitchell. But Jared Allen and Darius Garland, while the two of them have, you could tell that they were going to be really good players, but they just needed Donovan Mitchell to come in and complete this holy trinity, if you will. And right now the Cavaliers are just rolling with these three guys, and they're looking really good. And it's going to be interesting to see how they progress as the season rolls on. But Donovan Mitchell fitting right in with this Cleveland Cavaliers team and making them a good contender in the Eastern Conference this season. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 14-9. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games, so they've kind of fallen off a little bit this week. They lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves, but got wins against the Philadelphia 76ers and the Detroit Pistons. And it's just all about Ja Morant on this team. I mean, really, when I see the name Ja, all I really want to do is go Ja, 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 Ja. Shout out to Busta Rhymes. If you are a hip-hop head, you know exactly what the fuck I was just referencing right now. But hey, man, dude is balling uncontrollably and carrying the Grizzlies as he has done since the day he was drafted by the Grizzlies. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Golden State Warriors, who just get better. And these last 2 weeks, they are really turning it on. They're 13-11 overall in the season, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This week, they lost to the Dallas Mavericks, but got wins against the Chicago Bulls and the Houston Rockets. And while Steph Curry is having a phenomenal season, you really got to look at Kevin Looney, who is having a phenomenal season as well. He's getting a lot of rebounds, and he's doing a lot of work in the paint. Looks like he might be taking over that Draymond Green role as the guy in the paint who's doing all the dirty work in there. But Looney has really been the dude and really been the factor as to why the Warriors finally are looking like the team that we all expect them to be. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings have the Philadelphia 76ers, overall record of 12-11, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This week they beat the Atlanta Hawks and lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Memphis Grizzlies. It looks like they are going to be getting James Harden back either this week at some point, I believe. But once they get him back, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because Joel Embiid is just, he's just been going off. You don't really hear, there's been a lot of guys having good seasons this year, but you're not really hearing about Embiid, and he's averaging 30 points a game right now, and he's dominating the paint, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Harden finally gets back. And then also Tyrese Maxey, he's also been out with injury as well. So once they get those two guys back, I feel like the 76ers are going to be right back on track and right in line for one of the top spots in the Eastern Conference. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 14-9. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Houston Rockets twice and lost to the Atlanta Hawks. They just really had a down week. And also, when you lose to Houston, that's twice. They beat Houston twice, but they lost to Atlanta. But they just haven't really had that good of a week. Actually, they've been kind of down the last couple of weeks. So they just kind of fell in the rankings. But hey, Nikola Jokic, he's still dominating. He's still having a great season. And Nuggets looking like one of the top teams out west. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, the Atlanta Hawks, 13-10 overall on the season, 5-5 in their last 10 games. This week they lost to the Philadelphia 76ers, but they did get wins against the Orlando Magic and the Denver Nuggets. They've been slumping a little bit here this last week, especially, and they did have a little bit of controversy yesterday. Trae Young apparently got pissed off for whatever reason. They didn't hear the reason as to why, but he ended up not showing up for yesterday's game. So not only did he not play, but he just straight up didn't show up. Some type of disagreement between he and the coach. Don't know what it was, but that's not what you want to be doing, man. I mean, I get it. You have disagreements, but you got to show up for your team, especially when your team is out there competing. They're definitely one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, at least at this point right now. And they could be doing some really big things. And like I said, we don't know what they disagreed over. But for Christ's sake, you can't just not show up for a game. And he straight up did not show up, especially when you're the leader of the team. You just can't do that, but he did, and they still got the win, but still, you don't want to do that, and you definitely don't want to have a rift between you and your coach this early on in the season, because that could be a recipe for a disaster for a really promising team, at least, in the Eastern Conference, too. I mean, the Eastern Conference is not like the Western Conference, where there's just powerhouse team after powerhouse team battling each other out. But in the East, you know, you got Boston, you got the Bucks, and then you got the Cavs. And then after that, you got the 76ers too, but then it's just like, eh, the Hawks could sneak in there, but you have difficulties with your superstar player, and that will definitely fuck up shit for the team throughout the season. So we'll see if that becomes a storyline. Hopefully it doesn't, because I do like Trae Young. I think he's a very fun player to watch, and it would be nice to see him succeed. So hopefully that was just a misunderstanding or just some stupid little tiff, and they'll work it out. Now, the Lakers did not make the top 10, but they actually are getting some wins. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, so it's pretty awesome to see them get it going. But man, it's really all about Anthony Davis right now. And I had to give him credit, because his last 10 games, he's had a double-double. His last 10 games, I mean, it's like Anthony Davis heard all the haterade being thrown at him since the beginning of the season, and he's gone off. Here are his stat lines for the last 10 games right now. Last night, he scored 55 points and 17 rebounds. Game before that, 44 points, 10 rebounds. Game before that, 27 points, 12 rebounds. Game before that, 25 points, 13 rebounds. Game before that, 25 points, 15 rebounds. Game before that, 37 points, 21 rebounds. Game before that, 30 points, 18 rebounds. Game before that, 38 points, 16 rebounds. Game before that, 37 points, 18 rebounds. And then the game before that, 24 points and 14 rebounds. Dude is going off, and I'm loving it. Obviously, that's what's correlating between these wins as well. I mean, he's really dominating, and he's just, it's just crazy. He's making three-pointers. He's dominating the paint. It's like we have the old Anthony Davis back. Now, obviously, you never know when the injury bug's going to creep around the corner, but I'm loving what I'm seeing from Anthony Davis, and I really wanted to give him credit, because it's about time, because this is what we expect from you. I mean, that's why we traded for Anthony Davis, because he really is, when he's healthy, one of the best players in the league, hands down. And this is why. Look at what he's done in the last 10 games. That's crazy. Those are crazy stat lines to be doing that. So it's nice to see. Hopefully he continues it on. I still don't really have a lot of hope for the Lakers, but hey, I'll take it. 8-2 at this point right now, these last 10 games, and really like what I'm seeing from Anthony Davis, and hopefully he continues that on for the rest of the season. Or I don't know how long it's going to last, because at some point, dude's probably going to get injured anyway. So, but I'm really liking what I see from the Lakers there, and keep rolling, Anthony Davis, loving it. We had a few free agent signings as well in baseball over the weekend. So Jacob DeGrom, the starting pitcher, ended up signing with the Texas Rangers. Signed a 5-year, $185 million deal with the Texas Rangers. So he left the New York Mets. He will be headed to Texas. Kind of had a feeling he was going to head to Texas. It didn't really sound like contract negotiations were going well with the Mets. And it turns out they were not. I guess they weren't even anywhere near the $185 million that he got from the Rangers. And as I said, I kind of feel like DeGrom is a Bochy guy, so not shocked that he ended up signing with the Rangers. So that's a great move by the Rangers. Sucks for the Mets, though. Then also, Trey Turner today signed with the Philadelphia Phillies, so the rich get richer. Phillies were just in the World Series this year. I felt like they were going to be a good team at the beginning of the season. They kind of fell off in the middle season and then made that huge run at the end of the season, then, of course, made the World Series. And now they get Trey Turner, and I feel like you're getting one of the best players in the league. He's durable. He's great offensively. He's great defensively. And they signed him for an 11-year, $300 million deal. So good for the Phillies, man. They just got a good player there. And then Justin Verlander, starting pitcher, signs with the New York Mets. 2-year, $86 million deal, you know, coming off of his crazy Cy Young award-winning year. Looks like Verlander's going to end his career with the Mets. I mean, I can't see him playing beyond 2 years. I'm actually kind of shocked he's playing this year. But hey, I mean, you come off of the year he had, and he probably, you know, he was injured for 2 years, so I'm sure he's itching to get back out there. You know, he had such a great year this year, and he's probably thinking, hey, Mets are a promising young team, so add him in there, and good for Verlander to keep it moving. And then we also had some upsets in college football this weekend. Usually I don't talk college football until Wednesday's show. But the upsets were so big this weekend, I had to talk about them, beginning with the Pac-12 Conference Championship between Utah and USC. Everybody was talking about how USC is just rolling like their Limp Bizkit, and they were just going to fucking walk into the national championship and be this fucking awesome team, and nope. Utah smashed those dreams into oblivion. Utah smashed USC 47-24, which was pretty hilarious. And yeah, USC's college football playoff dreams have officially been smashed thanks to Utah. And then in the Big 12 championship game, Kansas State versus TCU. Kansas State actually pretty much dominated TCU the whole game. They got the win 31-28. It was back and forth a little bit of the way, but I mean, really, Kansas State pretty much was in the driver's seat the whole time, and they got the win 31-28, so that was pretty funny to see. I will get into the college football playoff because that is now set, but we'll get into that on Wednesday's show since that's when I normally discuss college football. But to round out today's show and to round out the college football discussion, Deion Sanders has officially signed with Colorado to now become their new coach of Colorado. So congratulations to Colorado. You are getting probably the next big thing, I think, in college football, the next great coach, I believe. You know, he turned around Jackson State. And it's funny because, of course, a lot of Jackson State fans are very upset because they feel like he abandoned them. And it's like, nah, this was always going to happen. This is what happens. You can't possibly think Deion Sanders' only goal was to coach Jackson State and do that forever. No. Dude was starting, I mean, actually, he started out coaching high school football. And then he started moving his way up in the ranks in college. And then he became the head coach at Jackson State. Those are only starting points. Now he's moving up to Colorado. And guess what? He's probably, if he succeeds at Colorado, he'll probably only stay there about 3-4 years until some other major college wants to sign him, or maybe even the NFL may come calling. Who knows what Deion Sanders is going to do, but he was never staying at Jackson State forever. As a matter of fact, you should be happy that he even went there. You should be happy at what he did for the school. He created a winning organization. He planted nice roots there to help grow and flourish for whoever is next in line there. And now he's going to do the same thing with Colorado and hopefully succeed there. And then we'll see what else he does from there. I doubt he's going to, like I said, he ain't going to stay at Colorado forever either. He's probably going to move on to something better. Whoever becomes the next powerhouse, who knows what's going to happen in the next, you know, 5-ish years. But don't expect Deion Sanders to be going anywhere other than up, because that dude has been a winner at every level. He's been great at every level, and I'm happy to see it. And good for you, Deion. Keep moving. Loved what you did at Jackson State. Hell, like I said, loved your NFL career, loved your college career, loved your baseball career. And so far, what you've been doing with coaching is exactly what you did as a player. So keep it moving, dude. And I can't wait to see what's next. And I can't wait to see what you do for Colorado, because you're probably going to turn this college around. I mean, Colorado actually used to be a really good football team many moons ago. They've actually had like Heisman Trophy winners, and they've been national championship winners and stuff. So yeah, we'll see what happens here with Deion. And it looks like his son's going to be the quarterback. So keep it moving, Deion. I like to see what I'm seeing here. And yeah, good for you. And sucks for all the crybabies who are pretty upset about it. But keep on crying, because people like Deion Sanders, they'll just keep it moving and he'll just keep succeeding. And he could just keep being great, and y'all could just keep on crying over dumb shit that doesn't matter. Anyways, that is today's show. And I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.